Welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 4, Episode 12, The Jedi Nightfall Saga. The book, The Courtship of Princess Leia by Dave Wolverton. The year, 1995. With your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go.
Hi, I'm the Herbs and Spices Kid.
Take it down a notch, Han.
If you leave Star Fox there, he's gonna eat that millennial goose.
Yeah. Hey, bees, hey, bees, hey, bees.
Yo, beepity boop, bitches, I got it!
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the podcast where we beat a dead franchise 1d6 wrong intros at a time. I'm Jeff, and that's John over there, and we're sticking with this take.
Yeah, one take, baby.
One take. Amateurs like you do two takes. I'm not sure who you is in this situation. If you're a listener and you're an amateur...
The you plural, you steadies, you.
Yeah, that one. That's who I meant. All those people who aren't listening to us right now, but are amateurs who do two takes.
All of you out there.
Don't worry, I don't
mean... In Hollywood land.
Yeah, just the folks in Hollywood. I don't mean you guys specifically, not you listeners. You're cool.
Yeah.
You guys are all right. So...
You guys are all right in my book.
Welcome to whatever the penultimate version of the penultimate episode is of Expounded Universe for Courtship of Princess Leia, because there's technically two episodes still.
I think that's the pencil ultimate.
The pencil ultimate, yes, indeed. The pen frisbee game episode of this.
Pen frisbee? What the fuck?
You see, because ultimate is a game played with a frisbee.
Oh, I see.
You see. No, most people would never call it ultimate unless they've played it a bunch. That's the worst name for a sport there is.
Yeah, no one would call it ultimate unless they were the kind of person that really likes hacky sack.
I played so much ultimate when I was just out of high school. That was like our regular go to the park and mess around game. And I love the game, but that name needs work.
Yeah, man, that ultimate frisbee.
It's just, you can't call it ultimate frisbee because frisbee is a trademark. So now it's just ultimate.
Yep.
You used to call it that, and that's not good. That's not cool.
It's not good.
It could have been worse. They could have called it extreme.
Yeah, it could have been extreme disc.
Maybe we should start a petition to name it to that.
Of course. Yeah. Now that we're older, we're much more likely to slip an extreme disc, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's true. Back problems are a real thing.
Folks, we're here to talk to you about back problems.
Do you have back problems? I do.
God knows I do.
And when I cath, I like to be comfortable. It's connected. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
So anyway, this
is my catheter is connected to my back. Don't worry.
I pee directly between the 23rd and 24th vertebrae,
right into
that
spinal
lumbar
fluid.
Uh-huh. That's how it works. When you get to this certain age, you know you need some extra pee crystals in your spine region.
What you need.
It's just a thing. It's just the way people.
God intended.
Mm-hmm. And I'm look, folks, I'll be honest, I might need a little help connecting that. So just line up to connect my wiener to my back muscles. Thank you.
It's like the old song, the wiener's connected to the back muscles.
You know, one of these days when I start peeing venom, this is going to be my origin story of how I became Bane.
Yeah, and then I'm going to start peeing carnage.
Damn it.
Yeah.
So
this is a good intro to this. We're getting really off topic real hard real fast.
I can't use any of this.
Oh, this is great.
Chapters 23 and 24 of The Courtship of Princess Leia, and we're wrapping up with some real-time, actually pretty cool action.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, this really should have been like 10 chapters earlier, and we should... There's so much more you could do, and there's only two chapters left, and I'm like, oh, man... You could have so much more going on in those chapters that would be interesting rather than the first 10 chapters we got, which were just garbage.
Yeah, they were just trash. And the worst thing about these couple of chapters here at the end is when stuff from the first two weasels its way back in there and reminds you how shitty the start of this book was. Because, you know, it ends pretty good. It's like he needed to warm up or something. Because these adventures, we're getting some kind of fun action adventures and the characters we remember and everything. But then every once in a while, C-3PO will pop up and be like, "Ooh, King Solo, remember that?
Huh, Your Highness?
Oh, remember? Your Royal Majesty? Yes." And you're like, "Oh, no, C-3PO, stop it. We don't need this, please."
It's okay.
Everyone's embarrassed about that.
We're all just trying to forget that happened.
Too soon. Too soon, 3PO.
Too soon, 3PO.
So, we ended the last chapter with Luke getting knocked unconscious by Geth Zarion, because she's the real deal Holyfield of Jedi on this planet.
Hell yeah, she just fucked his shit directly up.
Right into the dirt, and then dragged him off in her cool car that she has.
Oh, we don't know that.
Well, we see her hover car escape, but you're right, we have no idea where Luke is and if he's alive.
Yeah, all we know is that she absolutely beat the ever-loving Christ out of him and may have killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she didn't, because this book isn't even willing to kill off his X-Wing.
Yeah, let alone him.
So, you know, it's not like I'm saying, guys, he might be dead. What I'm saying is, from a narrative point of view, we don't know.
Oh, yeah, we have no idea. Is Luke dead?
Is this the book where it happens?
Is this the end of Skywalker?
The book where Luke Skywalker dies? The one with the rape gun? Is this what we're going to do?
I mean, even then we know that that's not the case, because we've read Crystal Star, which takes place about 9 years later.
Ah, don't worry. That's Luke.
That's Luke. With three U's. They just got an extra one out of the case.
Oh, yeah. Now, once it gets to the three U's, that's when you get a problem. That's when Luke just starts wandering around being like, I like pizza.
Can I have popsicles?
Yeah, you get that multiplicity situation going on.
His lightsaber is just a big popsicle. It's banana. Might as well use it for a lightsaber. That's a terrible popsicle flavor.
You got to get that root beer or that lime.
Yeah, in that official popsicle brand package of root beer, lime, and banana popsicles, which continues to exist for some God-defying reason that I don't understand.
My sister likes the banana ones, and it confuses the shit out of me.
I have to assume that they started packaging them that way in, like, 1951.
Oh, yeah.
It was right about the time when canned corn was, like, a hot new delicacy.
You know, back when you would go to Disneyland and you'd get into that, like, Hall of Tomorrow, and it would be like, someday you'll be able to cook an entire meal in a little box, and it will do it in minutes.
And here's our first example, a square of deviled ham surrounded by white chunks of cauliflower with a mountain of peas atop.
Brrr, ding. My God.
Break out the Russian dressing, ladies. Now we'll form the whole thing into an aspic. And then take a bunch of orange photos of it.
Ooh, those are the best photos.
I mean, I feel like I'm about 20 years late. That all sounded like 70s nonsense, but still.
It's true.
But it was Tomorrowland. The Tomorrowland of the Disney 50s.
In the future, we'll have cameras that take pictures only in orange.
Okay, so Star Wars, of which we have definitely talked about for more than a minute so far.
Yes, obviously, yeah, we have.
For 100%.
We are definitely a podcast that talks about Star Wars.
But for these two chapters, Luke is incommunicado at the best.
Yeah.
He is not available to be discussed with, and we are checking in right away with Tenennial, who had been fighting alongside him when he decided to just jump off the parapets of the tower.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, I'm not going to follow that. That's okay. You got
nope.
this.
She says,
good for you, buddy. I'm sure you've got this well under control.
You seem like a capable sort.
I'll take the stairs, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So she's running around in the building, and she is basically trying to get up to where the Falcon is and fighting her way around.
Yeah, she's got two of her sisters.
Yeah,
they are family. She's got all her sisters with she.
It's Farah and Karanati. Do you want Karanati?
Help me find Karanati.
Okay, there's some jokes that won't make any sense.
There's
to anyone.
Some fucking inside jokes.
That's stuff that predates art, like the show at all, like any of the shows.
Oh yeah,
that's like Smash Brothers for the GameCube level old.
Oh, that is like previews for the Smash Brothers GameCube game old.
Uh huh. So, anyhow, she sends one of them off to help someone else, and then she sees one of them fall, and she gets mad.
Well, yeah, they round a corner, and one of the sisters is like, what the? And then her neck just spins around, and she fucking dies.
Yeah, she pulls a Beetlejuice, but it doesn't work, because she's not the ghost with the most. She's at least the ghost with the fourth or fifth most.
At least.
Yeah, at best. And at least.
At least and at best.
Uh-huh. So she gets her neck snapped, and this pisses off Tenennial quite a bit.
To the point where she can cast without even saying nothing.
She's so mad that she turns into a regular Jedi, but not a good one.
Yeah, she blasts air down the hallway and finds Night Sisters like clinging to railways, and then she just blasts the railways off and shoots Night Sisters out into the void.
Yeah, she just fires them out windows off the cliffs.
She's like, and fuck you!
Yeah, so she gets real mad and starts screaming and forcing people out windows with the Force. Then she turns around to the surviving other good guy sisters who are hanging around, and she's like, what? Why aren't you fighting? Get your shit together! And they're like, you've popped a blood vessel.
You are obviously turning evil. And she's like, ah, fuck me in the ass.
You're witching out, lady. You're witching out hard.
you're going full Sith. You need to quit that right now.
Apparently, though, she can. She gets a lot of Brink pullbacks from.
Oh, yeah.
Over the course of this book, it
seems
like.
Oh, fuck. I shouldn't do that.
Oopsie daisies. I didn't just kill three people, okay? I'm taking a mulligan on that.
Take backsies.
I'm going to turn in my mulligan card I bought at the start of this fundraiser.
Yeah, they're really capable of just being like, nah, we're good. Yeah, you're okay.
It's fine. You're good. You get to kill three free Night Sisters a day.
We've seen Luke kill several.
I know. He's pretty vicious about it. But you know what? He's much more trained and practiced at being a Jedi. He knows the ins and outs. He's very diplomatic.
Knows the loopholes of when you can or can't kill someone, mm-hmm. and it doesn't count.
Oh, he's got it down perfectly. He's like Jimbo from old episodes of South Park.
He's like, look, I know. As long as they come at me and I go, hey, stop it, and then cut them in half, it's fine.
It's coming right for us, he yells before he kills an innocent child.
Yep.
My conscience is clear. I'm Luke Skywalker.
No force problems for me. I'm a pure light side Jedi.
So she goes bursting into the room with the Falcon in it to find Isolde in great peril and danger. He is fighting off Night Sisters, but he just isn't strong enough to keep doing it.
Yeah. We get the scene changed to Isolde's point of view,
mm-hmm.
where Isolde is trying to get all of the shit in place because, like, the droids are dumping all the coolant in there and everyone's getting all their nonsense together. And him and Chewbacca are trying to get a sensor window attached.
Yes, so they've got some bolts that they have to deal with. They need the right size bolts. And
yeah, they're just bolting a sensor window on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a Night Sister comes in and is like, yo, motherfucker, what up? And he attempts to shoot her. She just
smacks the blast
aside. And we get Chewbacca finally is like, all right, you know what? Fuck this.
Yeah, Chewbacca enters the scene.
Chewbacca.
That Smash Brothers X fires up across the screen. It's like, Chewbacca enters the game.
Yeah, he is had enough of this.
So he comes bounding out of the Falcon and then at warp speed runs right past the Night Sister and then is standing behind her. And it's at this point, finally, once he's standing behind her and growling and roaring or whatever, that Isolde notices that Chewbacca has torn her arm off.
Yeah, just clean off.
Which, let's stop the action for a second. Folks, did you know that Chewbacca can do things other than tear people's arms off?
Hey, did you know that Wookiees don't necessarily mm-hmm. have to only rip people's arms off?
Yeah, they don't use a form of karate called Wook Fu that is entirely based around ripping loose arms.
Although I would not put it past these novels to at some point have that be a thing.
To add Wook Fu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's and also the movies clearly established he only tears off arms when he's losing at that Hollow Chess game. It's not that he always is tearing off arms constantly.
Yeah, well, that's just a thing that Wookiees are known for. They'll rip your damned arms off.
And that is it. That is exclusively what they'll do.
Yeah. But
so anyway, he uses the mighty power of the Wookiee.
Yep, he finally does literally anything in this book.
Yeah.
And it is to do the one stereotype thing that Wookiees do.
Yeah, he tears her arm loose, and then with the power of OxyClean,
then he uses flex tape and puts it right back on there.
But before he does that, he separates it into a julienne pile with a slap chop. TV.
TV.
And then I guess he also puts it in a food dehydrator, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's got a copper pan or some shit.
Yeah, he takes a moment, looks at a hammer, looks at the wall, and then just hammers it into the wall for no reason. And then he's confused about why that happened.
That is my very favorite of those There Has to Be a Better Way videos.
It might be the greatest moment in the history of television.
just look at hammer, look at wall, hit wall with hammer, create a hole, look at hole, look at hammer, be confused.
She's like mad at the hammer. Like,
what did you think was going to happen? There wasn't even a nail there.
Hammer, you betrayed me.
I thought I was going to be like, fix it, Felix, and just hit the wall with a hammer and everything would be great.
I like that one. I would also throw a special mention out to the dude who sits down to have a phone conversation with like four bags of Cheetos in a huge bowl.
I was about to say the other one is definitely the dude with the bowl of Cheetos because that is amazing.
He has like every Cheeto.
He's like, well, I went to Costco and bought two like giant industrial sized bag of Cheetos and put them into my cauldron that I will sit upon my lap.
And now to have a lengthy phone conversation during which I will eat Cheetos.
Oh, goddamn, I love those.
I mean, there's also one where the woman ends up completely covered from her hands to her elbows in tape trying to use an ordinary tape dispenser.
Yes.
I just, God. What do
but we that have? One I at least assume was she was just doing it for fun. Because who hasn't taken an ordinary tape dispenser and just been like, wee tape.
I got tape everywhere. Yay.
Hey, I'm Mr. Tape Fingers.
I'm going to go play Mr. Zima Hands.
Yeah, that's right. I'm playing Mr. Zima Hands.
So, how do we get that job, John? Is it too late for us?
It's never too late
for
us.
Can we get the job where we are the person who doesn't understand how to use an ordinary household product in an infomercial?
I hope so. I mean, we definitely look like the kind of idiots that wouldn't.
Yeah.
What?
Phillips head?
I don't know what a shoe is. And then it's just me, and I've got a shoe dangling off my ear. How do I do this?
Meanwhile, I'm trying to work one of my eyes loose with a Phillips head screwdriver. Come on out of there. The power of levers compel you. I don't understand how this changes the light bulb.
Anyway, so...
Where were we? Oh,
Chewbacca
yeah.
runs back inside, and Isolder slaps the little gateway thing to close it, because he's just like, you guys need to get the fuck out.
And Isolder literally runs back inside that ship so fast that it's like he was one of
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, yeah. Like, he basically... It's like he was teleported out and teleported back in, like he was an assist call in a fighting game.
Oh, yeah. He definitely just hit the Chewbacca enter button, and he just came out, ripped an arm off, and then zipped right back.
Teleport. And then is not seen again for the rest of these two chapters. That's his one moment of glory. His crowning moment of awesome, or whatever the fuck they used to call that shit on Troper Tales. Back when kids didn't realize how cringy the internet would be in their futures.
Aw, kids. Didn't you know?
This Troper knew.
This Troper.
All right. Isolder is like, get out of here, you. There's no time for me to be inside there with you guys. I think it's because he's going to stand there with a gun and hold all the Night Sisters off is his plan.
I don't know what his plan was.
Well, I think at this point he's starting to get a little defeatist syndrome because Rel got in his head back 7 or 8 chapters ago.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, this is it. This is the point where I die, just like Rel said I would.
Yeah, that old lady I met who knew my name and knew how much and knew a whole lot of surprising facts about Yoda's penis. I mean, we don't get all of them in the book, but the subtext is there.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. She was like, oh, that Yoda was such a flirt. And then the book cuts away because we have to see what Luke's up to. But, you know, in the actual events of the that were happening here on Dathomir, she was like, and also such a penis on that little guy.
Oh, my. His dick had those two ears on it as well. Weird, right? It was like looking at a little version of him.
Like a pencil topper.
I thought it was a little Pez dispenser.
I thought it was like two tennis balls stuck to the end of a walking stick. But anyway, I definitely had sex with him.
Way too much sex.
A lot of flips during sex is his whole thing.
He's very acrobatic.
He's just bouncing around hither and yon.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere.
He sure likes to kill little boys.
God damn it. So Tenennial is there, and she looks around, and she's like, all right, there's too many Night Sisters to really, like, try and kill, because they have, at this point, like, lifted the Falcon up and are just taking it out of the cave.
Yeah, they're using telekinesis to carry down a cloud of force, and outside she can see a raging force storm.
So she's like, well, there's way too many sisters for me to just, like, kill.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did, it would drop the, like, telekinetic thing, and the Falcon would just go tumbling down a mountain.
Yeah.
And there's another sister who has begun binding Isolder.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going to take this guy.
Yeah, this is like a lizard man moment where this lady stops fighting or doing whatever, and she's just like, ooh, a man, and just starts tying him up.
Oh, yeah, well, she's like, whatever, there's like a dozen witches out there lifting up the Falcon. They don't need me.
Yeah, but these are vengeful, evil people. They're going to notice you did that and take it out on you later.
Nah. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, that guy's super sexy. I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Too bad he's worthless because he's not the king of anything.
So, Tenennial straight up just like calls to Leia's mind. Is like, hey, Leia, you need to start up the Falcon. Just like hit them engines and fry every motherfucker in here.
Mm-hmm. And so indeed Leia does. The Falcon's engines fire off and it cooks a whole lot of Night Sisters all at once.
Yeah, Tenennial jumps in front of Isolde and uses the Force to shield them.
Yeah, she kind of uses the Force to push a wall out of the way, or to push a wall of fire aiming at them out of the way so that her and Andy Solder are fine.
Yeah.
Relatively fine. She's a little scorched.
Yeah, and then
the Falcon, which should not be flying, indeed flies and flies out of the building, and we will revisit it shortly. But first, Isolde and Tenennial collapse to the ground, and there is one lady in here other than them who survived this nonsense.
Yeah, the lady who was, I assume, the one trying to take Isolde hostage,
mm-hmm.
I guess caught some of that protective force nonsense. So she's only mostly dead, not completely dead. And Tenennial's like, ooh, this is my chance for brownie points to not be Darkseid. I'll save this person.
Yeah, so she goes over there and uses force spells to put some of her life force into this dying, burned out woman.
Yeah, which... No.
I know, right? She just killed like 15 other ones.
Yeah,
like,
she just called for like, hey, Leia, I want you to murder like 20 of these witches. And then she sees one of them that didn't get outright murdered and is like, oh, well, the right thing to do is to just use up my own life force to help this person.
It doesn't track. She might as well have just called her sponsor at this point. It's got about that level of strength to it where she's like, if she was just on the phone like, Ogwin, it happened again. I don't know, like 16 of them. I don't know their names.
The thing is, the next scene with the Falcon flying around really puts into quite a stark contrast the amount that someone that is a Force user or not a Force user is allowed to just murder gleefully.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Falcon is flying around out there and they're like, all right, we are trying to protect ourselves from being seen by Zinj, so we're going to stay in this Force storm. But they see like a squad of Night Sisters and
stormtroopers,
and walkers and whatnot.
Yeah,
and Han fires off a fucking proton torpedo into them.
Now, keep in mind, a proton torpedo is a space ship-to-ship weapon.
Yeah, whereas he just shoots it to some dudes on the ground.
Yeah,
it blows up, is a giant like mountain shaking explosion, and he is like whooping and laughing about it. He's like, ah, fuck you. And after having one scene where Tenennial's like, oh no, I may have killed a person, oh, I'm being evil, and then just immediately contrasted with Han murdering like dozens and dozens of people and just cackling like a madman about it. And you're like, oh, it's a good thing he doesn't have the Force or he would be a Sith man.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, my buttons on my ship didn't turn to the dark side again.
Whoopie doodle. Fuck you.
My conscience is clear as day.
I get to do whatever.
So he blows up a tremendous amount of shit, but the Falcon is not actually ready to fly yet. Whatever the important coolant.
They never got that sensor window on.
Not just that, but they also never mounted a whole bunch of generators of some. I think the shield generators haven't been mounted yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that still needed to get like tightened down.
Yeah, so they are kind of wobbling around in the storm. They really shouldn't be flying this thing. But then the Force storm suddenly ends.
Because they blew up all the sisters who were doing it.
Yeah, but now they can't stay in the air anymore is the point I'm getting at, is that because they blew up the Force storm, they can't hide in the sky, so they just land. And I'm still not quite sure what happens here, where they just like land and get out and go running back. You can't just leave the Falcon in a clearing.
Well, the thing is, that's when the sky goes dark.
That is true, yeah. Right as they land the thing, all of a sudden, as if a billion snow globes in the sky suddenly went black, the entire sky like turns off.
Yeah. It was like being towards dawn, like the sun was peeking over the horizon,
mm-hmm.
And then the entire sky just goes black. There is no light anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first Han just thinks his sensors are fucked up. He's like, what, not having a sensor window mean my shit's all fucked and now I can't see anything?
Mm-hmm. And then C-3PO comes running in, and this is our first drop of the King Solo stuff. Ooh, King Solo, R2 has found something important. And he's like, okay, great, shut up until you can figure out how to deal with whatever's going on with the sky. Ooh, I'll have to work on that.
Oh, I'll get right on that, you big fucking prick.
Perhaps it'd like to hear some love poems.
Turns out that there's a giant fucking
satellite
web.
Yeah. So it's called like the
Night Cloak.
The Night Cloak, and it's an orbital satellite network that basically absorbs all light that tries to get to the planet.
Yeah.
So now the planet's in total darkness, and it'll be frozen to negative 100 degrees something or other in 3 days.
Yeah. Like, oh, by the end of today, you'll have snow everywhere, and then all your plants will die, and then everything will be covered in ice. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, so this is an evil plan that would not work on just about anybody, because it'd be very easy to shoot the satellites down.
Yeah, if you can shoot even a couple satellites down, then you're fine.
Yeah, they make a big deal about how the satellites are networked and daisy-chained.
They're basically just like fucking Christmas lights.
Well, they're basically setting up the action movie climax here, where they're like, there's a whole bunch of satellites in the sky, but if you can knock out even two of them, they'll all come apart and everything will be fine. You'll get to fuck the prom queen.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The Rock.
Yeah, you know, The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock got to fuck the prom queen.
Okay. So, yeah.
And by that, I don't mean Dwayne The Rock Johnson. No. I do mean that literally Alcatraz fucked the prom queen.
Yeah, it was very unusual.
It was a very strange thing, but if you look at my anime that I've made about it, it'll all make sense.
It's you. Look, the Rocket Man.
We put the princess crown on Alcatraz, and it turned into a big titty anime girl.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm definitely watching an anime. I mean, why not? If there's anime ladies that are battleships.
Oh, well, yeah. There's anime ladies that are France. So.
Yeah, there could be anime ladies that are just famous prisons.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you'd call it exactly, but it'd be like, oh, I'm Sing Sing. You can tell because I'm dressed slightly different than old Big Blue.
Yeah, it'd be just like prison girl moe action, and then that's what you have.
Now, the question is, do they turn into just anime ladies? Or,
oh, it's just anime ladies.
Or are they centaurs, where their bottom half is prison and the top half is anime lady?
No, it's just a big titty anime lady, and then they say, oh, by the way, I'm Alcatraz. This has nothing to do with anything.
So we're going the Hetalia route.
Yeah.
Okay, and not the one where they're battleships, because they, like, turn into centaur battleships.
No, we're not going to do the one where it's like, I'm a fucking, like, jet with titties.
That's Strike Witches. That's a whole other different thing.
That's an entirely different thing.
I don't watch any of these. I just know about them because I am of the internet.
Yep, I've been on the internet long enough to know all of the worst things about it.
Yep. So, pushing forward here, what happens next?
So
R2 has the message.
Oh, well, yeah, we find out all of this because R2, again, intercepts a message and gets Zarion. Lies to Zinj again.
This is, by the way, the first time we actually get to meet Zinj.
This is the first time he's been on screen.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen Zinj in the book. And sure enough, he's a pudgy...
mustachioed.
He's a pudgy doofus with a bad mustache.
Yeah.
Sadly, he doesn't curse in 60 languages. I was a little disappointed that when we finally meet him, he doesn't immediately do that.
No.
I guess it's because Yarion forgot to invite him to kiss her Wookiee.
Well, it's because things are going his way right now.
That is true. He's in a good place.
So he's in the good place.
He's in the good place. I forgot to mention he stars in the good place.
Yeah, Zinj, one of the many people in the good place.
Yeah, they added him in season 3. Now, you may be asking yourself how they add characters to that show, since it's basically just a seasonal reset button, but they found a way.
Well, I don't know if you know the premise of season 3, but that's easily where they would add people.
Back on Earth or whatever, right? I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, I haven't seen the beginning of it, because I know it only just started.
Yes.
So, pushing forward, I'm sorry, we have a little message between Geth Zarion and finally appearing in this book, Zinj.
Yeah, and Zinj is just like, hey, your planet's going to die unless you give me Solo, and they have the back and forth of like, well, did you think about my offer of servitude? And he's like, I don't have anywhere to put you. Like, what am I going to do? Put you in some regiment somewhere?
I can't. Look what happens when I leave you near other stormtroopers. You take over their minds and run your own little army.
Like, I'm not going to let you just be in my army because that would be dumb as fuck.
He's like, look, Gazarion, I've got nothing for you to do. We already have enough people to judge fishing contests and run the morning shifts at local McDonald's.
Look, I can't put you in my army. We do not have enough yards of hurricane in order to keep you satisfied.
Well, don't you need old mango poop smeared off your lawn?
Oh, God. No, we're fine.
Or I can catch your palmetto bugs.
I know how to wrangle a gator.
I just set one ship up about 12 miles away from the others, and I'll cook you some of that famous Florida meth.
That world-famous Florida meth.
Now with mosquitoes in it.
So she goes, all right, well, if you can't put me in your army, then just set me at your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just tell me a planet that you want me to fuck up that's in the New Republic, and me and some sisters will go there and just fuck that planet up. And he's like, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, that sounds like a fun deal. Here's how we'll play it down. I'm going to put two ships on your planet. One of them only tells the truth.
Yeah, one of them has so many guns. The other has no guns.
You'll put Solo on the one ship, and then when I leave, you can have the other ship. And everyone, literally everyone, from R2 to Gazarion to Zinj to anyone R2 shows it to is like, yeah, he's lying.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, no, he's not doing that.
That's obviously some fucking horse shit.
But she's down with it. Gazarion is down with it, presumably because it doesn't matter what he sends down here to pick up Solo. She'll murder everyone on it and take that.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, if you send anything down here, I have like 60 Sith witches. Obviously, we don't give a shit how many weapons are on your ship.
Yeah, you call me when you invent the teleporter, but until such time as that, you can't possibly come get Solo because I'll take your ship.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't say any of that. She's
no.
Like, she's like, yes, that's...
Oh, that's a great deal.
Yeah, that's an excellent deal.
So everyone sees this message and goes, well, that's a bunch of horse shit. And they're like, yeah, I guess. They go back up to the mountain,
mm-hmm.
and they find Isolde. And Isolde, they think, is like might be injured or dead or whatever.
Yeah.
Turns out he's just asleep.
Yeah.
Leia shakes him awake.
This is the worst.
And he's like, huh? Oh, what's going on? Hey, baby, and just kisses her. I'm like,
what a beautiful face to wake up to. Why did he get reset? What happened here?
Hold on. The last thing you know, you were being tied up by a fucking night witch, and everyone around you was dying to the flames of a ship taking off. How do you know it's not still combat? How are you like, oh, hey, we might still be fighting for our lives, but hey, baby, how you doing? Let me just plant one on you.
The best I can figure is because Leia's the one doing it, and last time he saw her, she was in the Falcon. So if she's out, then presumably either something really good or too bad to bother with caring about has happened.
That or he does not think about anything and is just like, ooh, there's a lady within kissing distance. Yeah. You made the mistake of getting near my face.
Yes.
It's kissing time.
And so he just immediately snags her and starts kissing her. And she, of course, never fights it because that's just not who she is in this book.
No, but Han's like, hey, man, come on.
Han literally with an L-I-T, says, hey, guys, no mushy stuff, all right?
Yeah, not like, hey, man, we're trying to do whatever. Hey, get your hands off her or anything. He's just like, hey, come on, man.
He literally, he princess brides this situation and actually says no mushy stuff.
Aw, is this a kissing book?
Yes, it's an inappropriate kissing book.
Yes, this is definitely an inappropriate kissing book.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
this is a kissing my Wookiee book.
Okay, so he kind of admonishes them for all the mushy stuff and then they kind of get with the program.
Yeah. They go try to have a plan. The night witches, or the night witch that is still alive.
Oh, there's a healer who is directed to go take care of the night witch, and she kind of grudgingly walks over and has a look at her.
Well, yeah, like, she heals Tenennial, and Tenennial's like, oh, I saved that night witch. The healer walks over, like, just puts a hand on her throat, checks for a pulse, and is like, well, fuck her, and leaves. And they're like, what are you doing? Yeah. She's like, look, if Gazarion wants to send someone to heal this son of a bitch, they can do that. Otherwise, fuck them.
Yeah, well, she's busy. She's got a lot of not-white night witches to heal up.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that they are so indignant about this, I was like, this is like a prisoner of war at best. Like,
Is a prisoner of war the way like a wolf is a prisoner of war? Like, she didn't surrender and she never will. She'll just try and kill you.
Yeah, I'm like, it's one thing if this would been like, oh, we caught a stormtrooper. It was like, hey, I'm just a soldier. Mm-hmm. I don't have any power. You took my blaster away. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll be a prisoner. But you're dealing with a fucking Sith. And at that point, like, why are you so indignant that they're not like, yeah, I can only heal 4 people today because that's as much power as I have, and I'm going to spend one of them on this person that wants to kill me and will definitely try to.
Meanwhile, Tadaniel's all like, but you have to save her. If she dies, I lose 10 light side points.
Come on.
I'm about to fall to Paragon 3.
Damn it.
But they've already established in the book that healing spells are the hardest.
Yeah. Healer that healed Tadaniel was already like, I'm fucking exhausted, and we still have more of our people who are injured. Nah, I'm good.
So Leia is the one who guilts the witch.
Guilts Ogwin.
Ogwin into fixing this. She basically threatens to give Ogwin's city a terrible Yelp review.
Yeah, and I was like, fucking fine, whatever.
I really need to stay above 4 stars. Otherwise, TripAdvisor ranks my dumb little singing mountain village the worst, and I can't. Look, the Airbnb game is tough, okay? I'll heal her. Stop.
Ugh, it's so bad.
So the healer, and then she doesn't get any lines. She just kind of hangs around in the background.
The healer, and she gets no business.
Yeah, she just sits down when they have their planning session, which is like, don't you remember how, like, Geth Zarion can see through the eyes of whoever she wants? Maybe don't leave a free spy in your own midst.
Yeah.
At least go put her in a room or something.
And speaking of seeing through people's eyes, that's when she, like, worms her way into Han Solo's brain.
Yes, now she kind of just takes over Han Solo and starts saying some stuff to him. Her Sith ability to talk to people over great distances is extraordinarily impressive.
Oh, yeah, because it's not just like, oh, I'm going to like whisper some words in your head. She gets in there, forces him to see what she is seeing, and like has an entire movie play out in his brain, basically. She's like, hey, look, I got 50 prisoners down here. We're going to murder them, and they proceed to murder them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you are an honorable man, because if you don't surrender in an hour, we're going to get 500 prisoners, and then we're going to kill them. And then if you don't surrender in another hour, we're going to kill another 500 prisoners.
Yeah. So here's how this is going to play out. You're going to walk to the base of your stupid little city you're hanging around in. One of my night sisters will come and pick you up, and you'll come with me. The end, okay? Or else I'll just keep murdering people, and I know you don't want that on your conscience. And unfortunately, Han doesn't go, I don't give a fuck. What do I care? It doesn't make me dark side. I'm not a Jedi.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Go fuck yourself.
But he gets super freaked out about it, and he does the standard Han Solo thing in this book, which is to run out of the room to solve the problem without explaining to anyone what he's up to.
Oh, yeah, because at the end of the vision, it switches to Leia, and they sort of see what happens to him, where he just kind of, like, backs away and covers his eyes and kind of moans and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with this guy? He's like, oh, guess Aaron's talking in his mind. Don't worry, he'll work himself out. He'll go to sleep soon.
Yeah, Ogwin is the one who's like, oh yeah, guess Arian's got his brain. And she doesn't like try to shoot him or anything, which is what I would have expected.
Or try and like do a spell to be like, oh, let's try and cut off the communication here. Instead, they're like, ah, it'll work itself out. It's fine.
That's just a thing that happens on this planet, tourist.
And then Han just kind of goes, and runs out the door.
Uh-huh. I think we missed the point here where they're having the conversation about how Solder still has his fighter, so he could fly up and just shoot down some of the satellites, but it would almost definitely be a death sentence if he did.
Oh, yeah, because both him and Han are like, if either one of us took either of our ships up there, we might be able to blow up a couple satellites and get rid of them, but whoever did that would very definitely be dead.
So here's the thing I keep wondering about, and they get to the point, because this is just another chance for the two of them to be macho at each other, where they're like, I'll head up there and volunteer my life to save the day. No, I'll do it, because then Leia'll like me more, and maybe we should draw straws. You know, it's like the 10th time this has happened, where Leia has to come and be, boys, you're both stupid. That said, keep fighting over me, please. In this case, Han gets Geth Zarion, so the argument is effectively over. They go. But it leaves me with a real question here. Han's got a lot of, like, air-to-air missiles on his ship. Couldn't they just shoot one of the satellites out of the sky without flying up there?
Well, you might think they could, but then that missile could get intercepted, I guess.
But it seems like it'd be worth a try, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they've got a lot of weapons on both of these two spaceships. They're both warships. Maybe we don't have to fly up there and dogfight an inanimate satellite. Maybe we could just have someone calculate where it is and then just shoot a missile at it. You don't actually need spaceflight for this.
I mean, except in the book, they straight up say, like, oh, if I wanted to shoot them down, I'd have to go up there and go real slow so that I would be able to actually hit these satellites.
That makes it sound like it's harder to do the thing where you fly up there in a space fighter and easier to do the thing where you just shoot a surface-to-air missile at it.
I don't know, man. I don't know how fucking missiles work in Star Wars. Maybe you just eyeball that shit and you can't, like, lock on or whatever.
Maybe you just have R2-D2 slice it.
Maybe just, you just shoot R2-D2 at it, and he humps that satellite to death.
It feels to me like they didn't really think through all their options here. Anyway, Han goes dashing out of the room, and it takes everybody chasing after him just to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, he gets down to the Falcon, and he just starts immediately, like, bolting down the loose engines and whatnot. He was like, all right, all these generators and shit that we didn't quite finish, I'm going to finish doing that, and then I'm going to take off for Gessarion because she's going to keep killing people if I don't.
Yeah, and along the way, during the run, we get a chance to see the devastation that's been caused through the recent battle that happened. The Force Storm's over, but everything in this city is in total disarray. There's dead Rancors piled up everywhere.
Oh, yeah, and shit is just on fire, and that's the only light there is because everything's totally dark.
Yes.
So the only thing they can see from is, like, torches and the fucking countryside that is still burning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Tosh survived the battle, just in case you were curious about our mighty hero Tosh.
But one of her sons definitely died, and she is very sad about it.
Yeah, she's super grumpy and super sad, but I don't think she's going to matter again. So
probably not. There's only like two more chapters, so
it was a good chance to mention her one last time. Leia's freaking the fuck out because she can't raise Luke on the Force.
Yeah, she's like, oh, normally I can feel Luke, but I don't feel anything, so I think he's dead.
But we finally get, this is really important here, we get a real climactic conversation between Leia and Han when he's like just bolting shit together and she's like, you can't do this. Quit running off and quit trying to be the big damn hero all the time. And he's like, no. This makes sense. This is what's supposed to happen. It's my own fault for provoking Zinj so much, and this is my time to act like the general I'm supposed to be.
I shouldn't have brought you here. It's my fault any of this shit happened. You were right when you said I should grow up and be an actual, like, general and hero of the Republic.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to do that.
I'm going to take responsibility for my actions, and honestly, you should go be with Isolder. He was a great choice, and I know you'd already made the choice. And she's like, you know what? I actually kind of did already make the choice. I did choose Isolder already, didn't I? But I don't want to.
I did, but I only chose him because my people wanted me to choose him. Oh, Han.
But her self-admission where she's like, yeah, I didn't even really think about it. I just chose him because Alderaan needed me to.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, but Alderaan didn't need you to make out with him randomly all the time.
This wasn't one of those things where it's like, oh, I chose him because politically that's what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her be like, all right, I'll assent to this. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Instead it was, ooh, baby, give me some of that sugar.
Man!
Yeah.
Was basically the way that she played this. When, if she was like, oh, I made this decision without even thinking about it on a political level. Like, I'll become this person's, like, legal wife so I get control of the Hapes cluster or whatever it is. Then yes, but it's going to be very diplomatic. It was never even slightly diplomatic.
No.
So, it's a little silly.
Yeah, so we get a final farewell of Han Solo saying goodbye to everyone, and Leia's real sad.
I hate what's about to happen, John. Can we talk about something else instead?
Leia!
How you like tacos?
Leia wants to say something to Han and can't quite get it out. We know that she wants to say that she loves him. And instead, she says, Han, I really like the way you look in those pants.
You're really filling out them tights, D'Amato.
Oh, my God. I can't deal with it. The fact that she's like, oh, he's leaving forever, and I'm never going to see him again, and I need to say something to him. And her choice is, hey, nice ass.
I have so much trouble with this. These two have to have been dating for years. Because this is set some number of years, I think 3 or 5 or something like that, after Return of the Jedi. And they've been together that whole time. And the first I love you was in Empire Strikes Back, which is 2 years before Return of the Jedi. These two have to have been together for 5 to 7 years at this point. And she's like, I don't know if I'm ready to say I love you to this guy. I said I love you to 7 years ago.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, I don't know if I could say it now because that would just be mean if I said I love you while he was going to his death.
And with him under the full knowledge that the moment he dies, I'm going to marry that other dude.
Yeah. Oh, God. So the fact that she chooses to say, hey, nice ass, instead, mm-hmm. and Han does the Empire Strikes Back of, yeah, I know.
I know.
Shut up, baby. I know it.
I know I look good in these pants. That's because I stuff them.
I got ass stuffing in here.
Yeah, that's not my dick. That's a spare Night Sister arm. I found it on the ship.
A spare Night Sister arm.
Yeah, remember? Wookiee tore one off. There's just one lying around on the ship.
Also, that explains why I am bleeding profusely from the crotch area.
Indeed, that's what I like about how you look in those pants.
I love how it looks like you're bleeding from the dick in those pants.
I think you might die, and that makes me happy. It would solve a lot of problems for me very neatly.
And then, of course, Han goes to walk away, and she's like, Han, and she can't say I love you, but he says, yeah, I know, you love me, and leaves. And I'm like, thank you, Han. Thanks for that.
I'm glad he doesn't just shoot her with a hapen gun of commands and tell her to say that she loves him.
Now, say that you love me. All right, now turn around.
I love you.
Now back it up.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop it down low.
All the way to the flow.
Yeah. And then he flies off heroically because he's off to meet his destiny at the hands of Geth Zarion, apparently. And Leia is standing around monologuing to herself about how useful Luke would be in this situation.
Oh, if only Luke were here, he'd know what to do. He's a Jedi and that he's magic man.
Or he probably wouldn't know what to do exactly, but he'd certainly do something.
He'd certainly do a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you have it. The slow burn relationship between Tenennial and Isolde is really well established at this point. So all this continued, who does Leia love, is starting to feel a lot more useless.
Yeah. I mean, that entire part of this book really shouldn't be in this book. This really should just be called The Night Sisters and have nothing to do with any of this.
Star Wars, Repulsed by the Witches. Would have been a perfectly fine name. The Ch'unthor.
Secret of the Ch'unthor.
Yeah, that would have been fine. Secret of the Ch'unthor. Although none of them have names like that. They always have very vague names.
Well, I mean, Secret of the Ch'unthor sounds like a vague name.
Like Crystal Star is like, what's that? Well, it's just
Is a Crystal Star.
Yeah, but the Crystal Star is barely a part of the story. It's just that it's a good sounding Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
The Ch'unthor is barely in this book.
Yeah, but it's not the name of the book either. It's The Courtship of Princess Leia.
That's why I'm saying The Secret of the Ch'unthor would be a great title.
You know what? You're right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
How much was called Star Wars? Oh, shit, Rancors.
Star Wars, Rancors on Parade.
I would have loved... Did you know that one Rancor you've met was real small?
Rancors, way bigger than you'd think.
Yeah, that'd be a great name for this Star Wars. Even bigger Rancors.
We make that Jabba Rancor look like a little bitch baby.
Star Wars, Chewbacca does the thing.
Star Wars, Chewbacca probably not here. Chewbacca not included.
The Ballad of King Solo.
Star Wars, Solo. What a man, Solo.
I was going to say, you could call it the Ballad of King Solo because this book has a literal Ballad of King Solo in it.
Yeah.
What a man, Solo. What a mighty good man.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man, I don't know what happens next, but there's only two more chapters.
There's two chapters. I feel like...
A woman? Yeah,
man. I feel like a woman.
Yeah? Nah, 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 nah. God damn it, I love that song.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's all to do with the strut, that bit right there. The hook is so good in that song.
Oh, yeah, it just hooks you in.
Yeah.
And the hook brings you back.
I ain't telling you no lie. Well, what do you think's going to happen next? Do you think Geth Zarion survives this book?
I mean, I feel like she's got to die.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's got to go. But what about Zinge? I mean, Zinge is the bad guy of a variety of other books.
I assume Zinge escapes this where he, like, the fucking Hapens show up at some point and are like, let's fuck your shit up. And he's like, woo, bye.
What's runaway in 60 different languages? I know. I'm Zinge.
Fucking Mario looking motherfucker.
He's so tubby.
He's a big chunky mustache boy, and I love him.
It's just what Star Wars needed is a big chunky mustache. Hey, don't make fun of my son that way.
I mean, Zinge 100% looks like a dude you would make in the code or the SWTOR MMO.
Oh yeah,
like you hit that, body type option. 4.
Yeah, you got body type 4, and you give him a little mustache,
and you're like, oh look, I made Zinge.
You set to make him an Imperial operative or something because he's supposed to be. Because
then
smart.
He gets to wear that outfit.
Yeah, and he gets to wear the outfit, and then you're just like, yeah, go to it. I wonder how many Zinges there are running around in that MMO.
How many Zinges?
I mean, probably not as many as there used to be. That MMO is mostly full of people like called Darth Thrawn X and stuff like that now.
Well, everyone's got so many titles.
They do. There's so many titles.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of them because I only played that MMO for a while.
Well, I mean, the best one is just having Darth if you're
that's
like an Inquisitor or a whatever the other one was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that way I finally was able to create my character, Darth Ligma.
It's so sad that Darth Plague has died from Ligma.
Who's Darth Plague Ice the Wise?
Ligma balls.
There it is. I think we'll probably stop doing that in one of these episodes here.
Nah, probably.
Yeah.
But it's doubtful. Even if we do stop, it'll come back. There's no end to our jokes.
Or our penis.
The penis does not end.
Oh, wait. That was from the warm-up stuff. That sound clip is not going to be in this episode. That joke won't make sense to anybody.
Oh no!
The
endless penis joke didn't make it into the episode.
It was just from sound check. I forgot.
No.
Sorry, everyone. The joke about the penis that goes on and on, my friends, is you're going to have to just take our word for
just
it.
Just assume that it was hilarious.
It was real funny. Just take our word.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to us.
Yeah. I'm still vamping for time because otherwise this is a short one. But I'm not worried about it because we're going to make so much more content today.
We've got so many fucking shows.
You'll be fine. So right after this, we're going to record the bonus content for this here Expounded Universe, where we're going to take some stories from Wikipedia and tell them not just to you, but also to each other for the first time.
Yeah, if you missed it last time, Jeff accidentally set our bonus content to free.
Which would have been easy to fix, but I thought it would be fun to leave it free.
Yeah, so if you're one of the listeners that isn't normally a subscriber to our Patreon and you want to see what kind of things go on in the bonus content, go ahead, check out patreon.com/systemmastery. Our last bonus content for the Expounded Universe is up and free to listen to, so you can get a little sneak peek, a little taste of what we do here.
A sneaky Pete.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the $2 level gets you, unlocks those for you. So if you want to hear some Star Wars bonus content where we tell each other horrible Wikipedia stories or find other fun things to say, do that at the $2 level at patreon.com/systemmastery. Also on today's extraordinarily busy docket, we are recording Afterthought, our other podcast, which was an older show that we used to do. It fell away because we didn't have time to do it. You guys gave us enough money that we can actually do this full time, so we brought it back.
Yeah,
and that's at the $5
level. Mm-hmm. You can get our new monthly show, and you get access to in our Discord, which you can find pinned on our Twitter account.
Yeah, you finally get access to our greasy, sweaty butts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, our Discord channel just for you.
Our Discord channel, hashtag greasy, sweaty butts.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into there and look at all of our greasy, sweaty butts.
Yeah, they're not ours specifically.
No, it's just our collection.
It's a collection.
But yeah, we've got a patrons only channel on there and an Afterthought only channel. That's where you get to ask us questions. We have a good dialogue that goes on during our Afterthought shows.
It's very QA driven. We answer a lot of listener questions and we get kind of deep into topics that we normally wouldn't otherwise touch.
Yeah, it's a little more personal. It's a little more
after dark.
Yeah, it's a little sexier than our normal content.
Much like our greasy, sweaty butts.
Yes, it is much greasier and sweatier than our normal content. just like our butts.
All right. To find that, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us at the $5 level. Normally, it'll cost you about $10 a month to unlock every single bit of content we have, which is an insane amount of shows per month.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking shows. That's like, what, seven
There's seven bonus shows per month.
God damn.
Just bonus shows.
Just the bonus shows.
Yeah, that's not even... There's another...
Jeff, we're dumb.
Six... Eight. I think it's another eight. We make 15 shows a month, John.
We make a lot of goddamn
We make
content.
One show every 2 days.
Oh, God, help us.
People keep asking us to make more stuff.
They're like, hey, why don't you do a show about this? I'm like, because I will die.
If this was YouTube, we would think about it. You
and
know,
I'm
like,
already on two different shows right now as well. I'm already doing stuff with Quinn and the Swallows, and I'm guesting on the
Rob's thing.
The Rob's show, The Orpheus Protocol. So, Jesus Christ.
Bless, you know, we're both on campaign now.
You know that we are.
Yeah, it hasn't come up yet. I mean, I'm sorry, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, we're the blimps.
Season one, it's not based on blimps, it's airships. We're blimps, though.
Yeah, we are the blimps.
We play a pair of characters named the blimps who are blimps.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we show up. It's sort of a Thomas the Tank Engine type deal.
It's in the first season finale, and I'm sorry for spoiling it for everybody.
Yeah, spoils for everyone.
Yeah. It's surprising how much of the first season hinges on the antics of a pair of animatronic blimps that animatronic too, by the way.
Oh, also animatronic.
I meant to say anthropomorphic. This is the typo that became text.
Death of the author.
A pair of animatronic anthropomorphic blimps really turns out to be a climactic battle scene near the end there. So,
oh yeah, so get ready for that.
So watch out for that, but also forget I said it because it's a spoiler.
Thank you so much for listening.
Mm-hmm. And until next time, I've been Elan Sleaze Bagano.
And I'm an animatronic death stick.
We'll be right back.